Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be unto each of you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God, from which we receive his great blessing this day, is from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 15. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in that day, the song will be sung. So begins the prophet Isaiah as he intones the third echo song of Isaiah's chapters 24 through 26. It seems as though special days and special songs go together. They actually seem to transcend nations, languages, cultures, and even generations. Certain songs become associated with certain days. Begin to hum or to sing Auld Lang Syne, and everybody knows it's New Year's Eve. Or the lilting sounds of a moray, and everyone knows it's Valentine's Day. Or I'm looking over a four-leaf clover, and everybody knows it's St. Patrick's Day. Or the grandeur of God Bless America, and it's the 4th of July. Or the calming tones of Silent Night, Holy Night, and the delight of our Lord's birth is before us at Christmas. And as we've done today, we rousingly sing, I know that my Redeemer lives, and we know it's the season of resurrection joy, Easter. Perhaps some of you are humming your own special tunes for Vicarage Assignment Day or for Call Day. Some of you, potential vicars, might be singing, Teach Me Your Ways, O Lord. While tomorrow pastoral candidates may be singing, I wonder as I wander. Or guide me, O thou great Jehovah. God gave his people a magnificent song for that great day, the day of the Lord, into the future of the church, which Isaiah was given an opportunity to see. Much like a psalmist, Isaiah was waxing poetically so that the Holy Spirit could touch the very lives of God's chosen with a message that would linger in their minds and their hearts like a hymn tune and hymn lyrics that you just can't forget after a wonderful time of worship. Songs often have picturesque lyrics that appear in our mind's eye. The song God gave Isaiah for Judah and for that great day is no different. It breaks forth with a description of a city that has salvation for its walls, for its bulwarks, for its ramparts. It's a city that has gates through which the nations of the righteous through faith can enter. And then the tone of the song calms and comes down to offer peace from the Lord, who can be trusted forever because he is always faithful. And then with strength, the song launches up again into pounding rhythms of how the Lord is the rock eternal. And oh, how desperately every human being needs this song coursing through their very beings. All of us need to be walled around by God's gift of salvation, made righteous by the righteousness of Christ, carried by the power of the Holy Spirit into his presence and settled into peaceful bliss brought on only by complete reliance upon him. The guilt, the shame, the fear, the grief of human life are so implicit in our existence. We just plain get what we deserve as a result of our rebellion against God. And everywhere we turn, there's this need to try to justify ourselves or pretend that we're better than someone else or reap some unfair payback of a broken world. My dear brothers, as you minister with people, you'll find yourself sometimes just seemingly overwhelmed by the realities of this implicit law and the effect of sin that's so inherent in our lives. And as embedded as is the ugliness of sin in human life, so also is the undeserved love, the very grace of God, explicit to our human existence. In fact, it It's only God who can raise the walls of salvation around us. It's only God who can open the gates of righteousness. It's only God who can give peace through his trustworthiness. And he made the choice to do it even before the foundations of creation were in place. To do this in only one way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, whose perfect life was sacrificed for the horror of all of humanity's evil on an executioner's cross, in complete payment for the wrath of God that every human being deserves. So now we bask. We bask in the joy of that day of resurrection, and that day into the future that God brings, and he courses through us his song of salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Over the years that God has granted me the privilege of serving as one of his pastors, I've time and again watched the Lord bring people to that day when his song given to Isaiah was sung into the hearts, the minds, the very fiber of the beings of people. And now, with the opportunity God gives me, I get to hear from people in congregations and from pastors and teachers and parents and students of the song being sung. Just this past Palm Sunday, I was attempting to travel to a congregation in the midst of a snowstorm, and my phone rang. I pulled off, and on the other end was a pastor of a dual parish out in a rural area. He is very excited. He was driving in between his two congregations. There was no snow in his neighborhood. At first, he alarmed me with all of his excitement, but he quickly went on and he announced that he had just baptized 7 people in one congregation, and now he was driving to the other to baptize yet another. The 7 people were of the same family. He related to me how the people of his congregation and he had been given the opportunity to care for this family who had moved into their neighborhood, where the man and the woman had come from very difficult previous marriages, had 5 children between them, and were living together at first. A congregation of people, and he brought before them the glorious song of Christ's forgiveness. And they learned that the life they were living was harmful to them and their children. The Holy Spirit had brought them into the fold, into the family. This man was reveling. I was wondering if he might go off the road. He was so excited with the joy of what he had seen done in those lives. It was the day for that family. It was the day for that congregation. It was a great day for that pastor. I would imagine that many of you are aware of the significance of this day, the 20th of April. On this day in 1558, Martin Luther's close and dear friend, whom he called Dr. Ponner after his native Pomerania, was called home to heaven. Johannes Bugenhagen served as pastor in Wittenberg in 1523, and he was pastor and confessor to Luther. He went on to organize the Lutheran Church in northern Germany and Denmark. And perhaps today, I've been quite successful in imitating Bugenhagen's preaching, for Luther often described Bugenhagen's preaching as whatever comes to mind, much like a maidservant chatting with another maidservant out in the marketplace. One story that Luther recommended is that Bugenhagen would cut his sermons in half and preach no more than an hour, lest all the minds would wonder. Now, today I'm reminding you of Johannes Bugenhagen because he, like Isaiah, was moved by the songs of God from God's word about that great day of salvation to write a commentary on the Psalms. And then a compilation of the Easter Gospels so that Heinrich Schütz could set them to music and you and I could be blessed with them onto this day. And just as the Lord sent his song in Jesus to forever transform Johannes Bugenhagen, so also he does for you and for me and for the people he will give you to serve. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that goes beyond all of our understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, through faith in Christ Jesus.